Mike here. Quick note. If you enjoy listening to Elise and I break down episodes and films on this podcast, you should know we have an entirely separate podcast through Patreon. There we break down New York City-based rom-coms like When Harry Met Sally, You've Got Mail, Hitch, Trainwreck, Bros, and many more to come.
I think that we should yell at children more often. Not parents. Parents, be nice to your kids. But the rest of us should sometimes take children out to task a little.
I never yelled at a child, but I did have an arch nemesis who was like 8 years old. Like, hearing you talk about it, I'm like, well, then why would they do all that for just that moment? But then you think about it, and if they didn't, it would look like the movies I made in high school with my friends. We're really, really concerned about the bottom line of Bros.
I really am. I feel like we've already found ways they could have saved money on the budget.
Right.
If they just would have asked us about it.
For $4 a month, you get 3 to 4 episodes monthly covering a rom-com, and we're doing some fun bonus content as well. You can find us on the Patreon app by searching We Couldn't Help But Wonder, or through our website, wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com. Hope you join us there.
All right, hello. Welcome to our attempt at the first episode of our podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City. My name is Mike Jensen.
And I'm Elise Castle.
So we're going to start off obviously talking about the pilot, but I thought before we start, it might be kind of fun to share our background with the series in general. Mm-hmm. So we're coming at this from the fact that Elise, you are coming to this as a first-time viewer, someone who managed to avoid this show all these years. All right, and I have watched it probably about a dozen times all the way through. I remember actually when the ad campaign came for this show, because I had like had gay boy crushes on 3 of the cast members. So Sarah Jessica Parker, of course, had done Footloose and The Flight of the Navigator, and a little gem that I love and have probably seen 20 times called Girls Just Want to Have Fun, co-starring Shannon Doherty and Helen Hunt. And then Cynthia Nixon, I remembered loving from a movie called The Manhattan Project, where she and her boyfriend tried to build an atomic bomb. Social commentary. And then Kim Cattrall for Big Trouble in Little China. So 3 of these 4 actresses, I was like, oh, I love these women. So I watched it. I probably watched the pilot the night that it came out, and continued to watch the entire series as it went along. So was there a reason why you didn't watch it?
I think I spent most of the 90s in marching band. So that was about it. And I do live for Footloose. I love that. But yeah, just spent most of the 90s in marching band, and I kind of like purposely avoided it.
Got it.
I wasn't going to fall into that.
I am a teeny tiny bit older than you.
A teeny bit.
That probably also has something to do with it.
Yeah, I don't think I was allowed to at first. I think my mom was like, that is vulgar.
Whereas I had, you know, my own cable box in my bedroom.
Those women are not married.
Very true. Very true. So we start, you know, most TV series, the first episode is called pilot. But I like the fact that this is called Sex and the City. It originally aired June 6th, 1998. This episode was written by Darren Star, who is the creator of the series. He also is the guy that created, I believe he created Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place. Currently he does Younger.
Great respect for Darren.
Oh, for Melrose, I was a big, you know, it's funny, I wasn't a 90210 person, but I went right to Melrose Place. And then directed by Susan Seidelman, who is going to go on to direct a couple more episodes in this season. For me, I suppose, I think she's most famous for Desperately Seeking Susan.
Love.
All right, so if we were going to do like a recap of this episode, mm-hmm. It really is just, I mean this in the nicest way possible, a pretty simple pilot. We're just meeting these characters and setting up what the basic premise of it is going to be, which is about sex in the city and about these, particularly these 4 women living in New York and their relationships and who they meet. We start off, I'm going to make a confession here that's going to make me sound kind of stupid. But watching this first episode, it wasn't 100% clear to me. And this is mostly dumb because just watch the opening credits or look at the poster. It wasn't clear to me that it really was going to be about these 4 women. Because you open the show with this blonde woman who's clearly Australian.
Once upon a time.
But playing a British woman.
Right. And they say like,
an English journalist came to New York.
My first thought was she's like, an English journalist came to New York. And I'm like, are we watching Cabaret? Like Cliff is now entering into the world.
Yeah. It's an interesting setup that we set up the show, not through any of the 4 main characters.
And great French twist.
She did. She did have some lovely hair. I will also say that she gets you know, we haven't seen the progression of time, so maybe she leaves many. So the premise is she meets this guy.
They met one evening in typical New York fashion at a gallery opening.
Their relationship is starting up. They look at a brownstone together.
One warm spring day, he took her to a townhouse he saw in Sunday's New York Times.
He invites her to meet the parents and then doesn't call for 2 weeks. And we don't, maybe there were many calm phone conversations that, or like phone messages left, but we go right to, she's real mad.
She's real mad. She's like in the window. It's almost like an Alfred Hitchcock moment.
Yeah. Tim, it's Elizabeth. It's an awfully long rain check.
And another thing that I love is, it's kind of, you know, I've heard, even though I haven't watched, you know, I couldn't avoid the talkings of Sex and the City. People are always saying, oh, it gave me a false hope of what my New York life would be like. And the first thing she says about this couple, Carrie says, in typical New York fashion, they met at a gallery opening.
Yeah, it definitely sets us up right away that this is not actually going to be a typical New York experience.
No, like, Mike, how many gallery openings have you attended?
I will confess and say probably two.
Okay, and how many of those have you met a future suitor?
Not a single damn time.
Yeah, absolutely not. I think I've been to one, but I don't remember.
So this podcast is called We Couldn't Help But Wonder, which comes from a line that is not uttered in the first episode, but will become a theme of the show. Every episode tends to have a question. What did you write? Did you write down what the question was?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, that her question might have been, why are there so many great unmarried women and no great unmarried men?
And that is the first question that she asks. She asks another question later on, which is, were women in New York really giving up on love?
Throttling up on power?
So those are the two central questions, and they definitely both have to do with women in New York.
Yeah, and also, like, she kind of sets it up by saying with this girl that no one told her about the end of love in Manhattan.
Right. So kind of, so cynical.
Yeah, but I'm like, no one told me about the beginning of love. So, are we going to talk about that?
No, we're skipping right to the end of love. Okay. We could also take a moment to talk about the, you know, a couple of quirky things that the show does. Not forever, spoiler alert, but that we do have the main character talking to the camera.
What a tempting thought.
Okay. She doesn't do that forever?
Not forever.
Okay.
Yeah, and also we have interviews with random people on the street where we see their name and what they do, and there's usually something kind of funny or quirky about it.
When you're a young guy in your 20s, women are controlling relationships. By the time you're an eligible man in your 30s, you feel like you're being devoured by women.
I will say that I remember this being an era of that sort of experimental television. Ally McBeal had debuted the September before, I believe. I think it was September of 97. So it was sort of like television using different quirky ways of doing things.
A dancing baby.
Like a dancing baby. How does it strike you watching it now and seeing her talk right to the camera?
I didn't mind that. The things that I were just like, this is outrageous, is like the men when they were doing like this. Because I was like, what are these? Like the guy on the rock wall.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I just couldn't with him. And
the guys are pretty awful.
Yeah, they're weird too. It's like... Yeah. It's that was when the real part of things becoming dated came in for me. It was like all these guys at what looked like a Gold's Gym, you know, in these tank tops and like, I don't know. Just that's when I was like, okay, this is the 90s. He's like, I took note of why don't these women marry a fat guy?
Why don't these women just marry a fat guy? Why don't they just marry a big fat tub of lard?
Yeah, I definitely, that's one. And then doesn't Miranda respond with like,
I have been out with some of those guys, the short, fat, poor ones. It makes absolutely no difference. They are just as self-centered and unappreciative as the good-looking ones.
And I'm literally sitting at home being like, as I'm on Bumble, like, why are all these guys so fit? I feel like, I just find a fat guy? Like, I don't want anyone to make me feel bad about myself.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. It is presented as though, like, all men are pretty terrible, except for then you have Skipper.
I totally believe that love conquers all. Sometimes you just have to give it a little space. And that's exactly what's missing in Manhattan, the space for romance.
Then you have this one young, idealistic guy who really wants to find love.
And then the thing I didn't get about Skipper, or was hard to tell watching it in 2017, is, like, is he uncool? Because, like, right now that look is really in. So yeah, I'm like trying to watch it, and I'm like, okay, so he's a big nerd, but then she's trying to set him up with her friend.
Yeah, I think, well, and he's like a web designer, yeah, which of course is actually an awesome job.
Right, and he has a big computer.
He has a big computer. That's true. So another thing that I love about this show, obviously, is that it's filmed in New York, and because we both live in New York.
Right.
And so I like it when we have locations, but they don't. Now we have a. Is it a birthday celebration that's happening?
The first one with the
drag queens.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like I clocked that was Lucky Chang's right away.
It was Lucky Chang's. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't 100% sure because there was also a restaurant called Lips. That
yes. And I thought
before.
It might be Lips, but then I noticed that they had these very like, I don't even know. I was like, oh, that's too calm for Lips. And then I looked over and it looked like it had more of like an Asian flair to it.
Got it.
And I was like, that is Lucky Chang's.
Yeah, that does make sense. I do like the exchange in there as far as like certain lines go. I like when I think Samantha is somebody to the effect of like having sex like men.
If you're a successful saleswoman in this city, you have two choices. You can bang your head against the wall and try and find a relationship, or you can say screw it and just go out and have sex like a man.
You mean with dildos?
No, I mean without feeling.
I thought like that was funny.
That's pretty good. And we are, now what do we think about the types of women that we have in this show. It does sort of follow
right.
a pattern of, you could look at the Golden Girls or Charlie's
yeah.
Angels, and a lot of times, and you sort of have like these types of women. You have the smart one, you have the sweet one, you have the bitchy one.
And you have like the cougar.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of those types that are used over and over again. And I think that we, as time goes on, the actresses do a good job of shading that in.
Right.
Did that strike you as at all strange or?
I mean, physical appear, obviously you get with, I'm going to be bad with names. Samantha. She's like the cougar one. And you get with her, like, right away, immediately what she does.
Samantha Jones was a New York inspiration. A public relations executive, she routinely slept with good-looking guys in their 20s.
You know, and, like, what her thing will be throughout the show. With Carrie, at this point, you don't see much personality. Like, you see personality, but you haven't, other than the fact that she will be narrating this. Charlotte, I immediately got, was, like, super sweet. Just the way that she talks, I guess. And hold on. Charlotte, Carrie, Samantha, Miranda.
There we go.
There we go. See, we're not lying. I was just like, oh, that is such a 90s haircut.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
and it's so funny to me because I'm like, that haircut makes you look a lot older than you are. Yeah, with her, I kind of got See, I don't know if this is going to be true, but when I was seeing Miranda, I was like, oh, maybe she's the one that's not as, like, into this whole sex girly life thing.
That's funny. Yeah, no, we're definitely going to get to that. That's definitely
like, she seems more like
a direction we're going to go in.
Businesswoman, like, career first, you know, dry.
By the time you reach your mid-30s, you think, why should I settle?
Like, thing that stuck out the most to me is, well, not the most, but one thing I noticed was like when Carrie lit up her cigarette.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I definitely, that was like two notes down that I just put smoking.
Yeah, like her first in-restaurant cigarette. And I'm like, I just want to go into a restaurant and be like, two for non.
Yeah. It is funny in 2017 to look at that and it seems so weird.
Right.
That like you were allowed to smoke in a restaurant.
And no one cared. No one was.
Right.
Because there's such, you know, there's this social stigma, like everything behind it, where people are outside smoking and like doing it. And before it was just like this sexy thing and grabbing a hit off your friend's cigarette.
Right. And then they're going to be smoking cigars later on as
yeah.
well, which that's just terrifying
yeah,
to me right
gross.
Now to think about.
Gross. Yeah. I'm not really a fan of that.
I do think, and I think part of this is because a similar line happened quickly where Miranda has a line where she says, and I'm like, let's not even go there.
It's like that guy, Jeremiah, the poet.
I mean, the sex was incredible. But then he wanted to read me his poetry and go out to dinner and the whole chat bit. And I'm like, let's not even go there.
Which I think is such like a funny like 90s line to say.
Yeah.
And then in the very next scene where we're introduced to Stanford, where he even says, don't even go there.
Yeah.
Don't even go there.
Yeah, it just like struck me as such like a funny like mid to late 90s thing to say. Like, it's don't like, even go there.
Yeah, like don't even go there, which I might bring that back.
Yeah, we should maybe start working
like,
on that.
Talk to the hand.
To the hand. Don't even go there.
Well, in Stanford, I love the line he has where he's talking to Carrie and he says, the only place one can find love and romance is the gay community.
In New York is the gay community.
It's not true. It's just,
yeah,
it's
Mike,
not true.
Mike, do you want to talk about that?
I don't want to talk about
that. Yeah, sure. And I'm just
but
sitting,
it is funny. I mean, right. You know, we're also, you know, this is a, obviously this is taking place in an era when same-sex marriage was
right.
nowhere. I mean, it right. wasn't even, I think in, you wouldn't even have imagined how quickly we would come to that. Canada.
Yeah. And I think at that time, yeah, just like, because those relationships were a little more kept under wraps. Perhaps they were more
maybe
sacred.
I don't know.
I don't know. But I just like that he said that.
And then we are introduced to Kurt Harrington.
Mm-hmm. It was Kurt Harrington, a mistake I made when I was 26 and 29 and 31.
And the main thing that I think when I see he's wearing a thumb ring.
Oh, I didn't even notice. I noticed that he looked like every senior picture that I'd ever seen. Like just that perfect senior picture outfit.
I've actually had a nice conversation with that actor before.
Oh, yeah?
He is in a movie that a friend of mine produced.
Name dropping.
Name dropping. But it was funny because, you know, as someone who's watched the series so many times, of course, in the back of my head, I was just like, you're on the first episode of Sex and the City. I don't think that I told him that's all I was thinking, but...
Well, and I love how another thing that just keeps going through my mind the whole time I'm watching this is I want to burn my cell phone. Well, not burn it, but like pull like a Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
Throw it in the fountain.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, they are so engaged with each other and in these social relationships, and we're all just on our phone. And the thing with the Kurt thing is when she notices him. Now, in 2017, I feel like we would say, oh my gosh, I slept with that guy, don't look. And then later on, if we wanted to meet back up, we would like text that person right. in the privacy of our home. But without that, it was kind of, you had a lot of like, you know, like you got to do it now or never. Like now or never moments where without cell phones because who knew if he changed his number.
Right. That's really funny. I hadn't even really thought about that. For the record, it enrages me when people throw their cell phones into the water. I'm always like, you're just going to get another cell phone. So just change the number or something. But that's fine.
Do you want to talk to Anne Hathaway about that?
That scene made me a little bit insane.
I
took issue with throwing a cell phone into the water. But that is funny. I really hadn't thought about that. And it once again, even just the conversations they're having. And yeah, the social engagement that had to happen when you didn't have a cell phone.
Right. Even when Charlotte is like, Carrie's like, hey, it's Charlotte, or hey, Carrie, it's Charlotte, like, or Charlotte, it's Carrie, or something. Caller ID, like,
you know,
it's that moment, or plan. It's just so, I don't know, I love it. I love watching that, and it really inspired me to, like, not look at my
phone. Put your phone down. That's funny. I've only looked at my phone, like, 5 times during this. So, and then I have smoking again, because, of course, smoking at the bar. I also think it's funny it's when Carrie gets up to go over to, like, casually bump mm-hmm. into him. And then we cut to Stanford, who is, like, frantically waving his hands in, like, a don't do it. And all I can think is, does he not see him? Like, does
right.
Kurt not? Like, that strange man over there is waving his hands at us. I wonder what that's about.
And also, I was thinking, too, like, I guess I'll get into this, but... She must always look like she's ready to meet someone she just slept with.
Right.
Because, I mean, there's, like, if I'm out to dinner with, like, or out to breakfast with a friend, like, I'm probably in a sweatpants. Yeah,
that is definitely
you
true. Know? I don't think that we're
what
ever.
You missed out on.
I don't think we're. This could have been
this
yours.
This could have been yours.
Look
yeah,
at this
these
elastic
roots are
waist,
natural.
Man. Yeah. I feel like we're going to establish that we're never going to see Carrie in a sweatpants. If we see her in a sweatpants, she's still going to look better than I look in a suit.
Yeah.
Like, she's always going to be on point. There's an interesting I don't know if it's directorial, but it's an interesting thing that I always notice in there, if you want to call it a sex scene, mm-hmm. where she gets up to leave. So she like flips the script and mm-hmm. you know, she gets her happiness,
right.
but leaves before he gets any. And as she exits, she pulls the sheet off of him. and sort of leaves him like naked and revealed a bit. And I don't know. I just think that's an interesting.
Vulnerable.
Yeah. I think it's interesting though. I wonder whose choice that was. I wonder if that was the director or if it's in the script. But I think it's a really interesting moment and says something about what is happening in that scene. Because we have already had, you know, the female nude scene at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was an interesting flip there where we're sort of like left with him. I like it. It's a moment that I've always noticed and thought was really interesting.
I thought the one thing that, like, with her exit that really struck me was, and this is only from living in New York, I'm like, does Kurt live in 30 Rock? Because, like, she exits and she's just at like 49th and 6th, like, out of the Chase Bank.
Yeah, he has some interesting real estate where he lives. Yeah, she does sort of, like, exit.
Like right onto the street.
Clearly from a business building. Yeah. Like, I don't imagine anyone actually lives in there. Which brings us to, I suppose a pretty important moment in the show. And the way they do it. So a thing that is also going to be reoccurring that'll be fun to kind of take note as is they love to have a build up, bring down moment on Sex and the City where she has a line about feeling on top of the world and she could do anything.
I left feeling powerful, potent, and incredibly alive. I felt like I owned the city. Nothing and no one could get in my way.
And then immediately is like knocked into and her purse falls and everything drops everywhere.
Right.
That's a reoccurring thing that they do on Sex and the City where they kind of build up and then immediately there's a takedown moment. But of course that brings us to...
Number one,
there you go.
He's very handsome. Number two, he's not wearing a wedding ring. Number three, he knows I carry a personal supply of ultra-textured Trojans with a reservoir tip.
Thanks a lot.
You would have to say the fifth most important cast member, which is Chris Noth playing Mr. Big.
Mr. Big.
So we have Mr. Big that gets on the scene. This is a dumb thing to ask, and I feel like I should know the answer, but they just call him Mr. Big?
Yeah, I mean, I think she meets him before they call him Mr.
Okay, Bennett. Yeah, so she meets him on the street and
doesn't know who he is. Personally, I'm like, oh, that's Mr. Big because, I mean, like, once again, I didn't watch the show, but, like, my girlfriends did. So they'd be like, Carrie and Big. I'm like, oh, God, like, I can't with this Big. Like, but I saw him and I was like, oh, okay, starting to make sense. And then when they're at Club Chaos, Club Chaos, I want one of those lampshade hats. Like, that's all I was thinking. I was like, I really want that hat. So it's when Samantha notices him.
See that guy? He's the next Donald Trump, except he's younger and much better looking.
So, yeah, Mr.
Interesting.
Big for president.
Mr. Big for president. I'm assuming that she just means that he's in real estate.
Yeah, or just, like, has money.
Before we get to Club Chaos, I do want one more line that I love, and it's where Skipper is having a conversation with Miranda, and he says, "I just have so much feeling."
I just have so much feeling.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just a funny line from Skipper. Poor little Skipper who just
and Miranda thus far has struck me as the one character who has the least amount of feeling.
Yeah, it's interesting that of course that we end the series with not the series this episode with them kind of being matched up because it could be the worst match possible. So Club Chaos, do we think Club Chaos was a real club?
I Googled it.
You did? Okay.
I did. I Googled it because I was like, oh, I wonder if it is. And yes, I think it was, but it had like many different name changes and flip-flops.
I think I might even know where it was. I think it was on Houston. I was kind of looking it up too.
Yeah, it was really over there. It was actually because remember.
It looks like a big bank or something.
Yeah,
at
the end of the, well, I don't want to, spoiler alert to the end of the episode, but when that guy that Samantha goes home with, he like gives the address to it.
Yeah. Definitely get there.
But yeah, they're at Club Chaos.
Yeah, the next Donald Trump.
Next Donald Trump. And this is where we're also introduced, and I know this because I've worked in the restaurant industry for a very long time, we're introduced to the Cosmo.
Oh, is it in there? I was wondering if that...
They don't talk about what it is.
But you see a pink
but
drink.
But I see a pink drink. This is where I took issue to. That Cosmo looked like Kool-Aid. Like, I'd be angry.
They definitely go pretty red.
Like, a little heavy on the cranberry sauce there. Like, I was immediately like, okay, no one's having fun tonight.
I also wonder, like, why does Carrie lie about having not met Mr. Big?
I don't don't know. Is it even really addressed, or is Samantha, well, just
Samantha
like,
just
I'm
says you
get
know
that
him?
One.
No, because big waves in their direction.
Oh yeah.
And then Samantha says you know him, and she just says no, I've never met him in my life, something like that. I just think it's a weird, funny little lie to tell.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, and then I wrote down the matte lipstick for days. That's okay. Coming back. I don't know why, but I just was like, everyone's in a matte lipstick and a lampshade hat.
With like some severe eyes, but like, and also like severe hair. Mm-hmm. It's definitely about like statement looks.
Yeah, a statement look in the 90s.
And then we have Charlotte, who is on a date.
Yeah, that also like got me angry because they were on the steps of the opera, of the Met, right? Yeah, they're on the steps, and he looks over and was like, do you want to come back to my place and see my whatever?
Ross Bleckner, who
Ross
was an actual painter.
Yeah, and it was in 89. I remember that. Like, what year was this painted? And I'm like, I don't know if I would ever go on a date with someone that said that to me. also, like, what would my comparison be to that? Like, do you want to go home and see my vision board? Like, I was just thinking of, like, what do I have in my house that I would
really
want to take?
Well, have we established that she runs an art gallery?
I don't know. If we did, I
missed
it.
I don't know if we've established
that. Okay, so that would make more sense.
So there is a little bit of sense to it.
Okay.
So, yeah, Ross Bleckner, a real painter. I wonder if it must have been a real Ross Bleckner painting, I imagine. And then it seems like his apartment is on Houston. This is where some directions start getting a little bit strange. So it seems like his apartment's on Houston. She then asked to take a cab
to West 4th and Bank. I took notes while watching, and I just wrote West 4th and Bank. Sure. I'm sitting here in my Queens apartment that I have shared with two grown men.
I will say that that's a real short cab ride.
Real short.
And not that she would have walked instead, but yeah, real short cab ride. And then he wants to go to West Broadway.
Which is where chaos is.
Right. Some interesting directions. Right. Some interesting places in the city.
And I think the biggest difference between 98 and 2017, like one of the biggest ones for me, was when he says, I need to go to chaos.
I really need to have sex tonight.
Well, and I did wonder, like, would you say that to someone?
Like, number one, would you say that? Or like, it's the 90s. Wasn't Craigslist out?
Right.
Like, if this is really an issue.
But you could also just say, a friend of mine is there.
A friend
like,
of mine is
it
there.
It seems weird that we've set up, what are
I
you
also
doing,
like
what are you doing next Friday? Like,
yeah.
What, like, I guess I'm having dinner with you. Okay, that's awesome. I'll see you at dinner. But before that, I need to have sex with someone else tonight.
Yeah. So,
but see you at dinner next week.
It is see kind you of, at dinner. Yeah.
He's a real, he seems like not a prize.
Yeah. Would not date again.
Would not date again. There's also a moment that happens now with Samantha and Mr. Big that I just think is worth noting, and it's not something that I thought about until I probably rewatched it maybe like the third or fourth time, that I thought it'll be interesting later to look back and just remember that Samantha tried to get with Mr. Big.
Right. I was thinking that too, because I don't know, like I said, I don't necessarily know the relationships ins and outs, but I've also like been alive during this culture, so I know that this is like Carrie's guy.
Right.
Now, at this moment, Samantha didn't know that. But also, Samantha, like, back up.
I thought it was interesting. Once again, like, looking back on it and thinking it's kind of weird if you look at it later on that Samantha tried to get with Mr. Big.
Fries before guys.
Fries before guys.
Hose
I mean, I've always
bros,
say that.
Hose.
We then also have, we establish one more location, theoretically, though this is going to change.
Where can I drop you?
72nd Street, 3rd Avenue.
I took issue. That seems to be my phrase of today. I also had a little bit of an issue with two things here. Number one, no one yells for a taxi. Well, they do. If you do, like, they're not going to hear it.
She's also strangely really bad at getting a taxi.
She's like, taxi!
Taxi!
Which I love. And also, she has this line where she goes,
and just when I thought I would have to do the unspeakable, walk home.
I was like, no, like, girl, get on the 6 train. Like,
right.
It's not that.
That actually would be an unspeakable walk home.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, walking from Houston to 70 whatever.
And whatever.
That's the only reason why it would be unthinkable, which is why you would just get on the subway.
Right. Which is why you would get on the subway. But I just love that she was like, the unspeakable, the walk home. And I'm like, no, the unspeakable, like, just get on that train.
I like that she refers to herself as a sexual anthropologist.
Mm-hmm. I'm sort of a sexual anthropologist.
And then what does he say? What are you, a hooker?
Like a hook
Yeah, was that a hooker?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the best time to make this confession, and maybe okay. I shouldn't even say it.
You are a sexual anthropologist?
I'm a sexual anthropologist.
Or are you a hooker?
And a hooker. I've never been a Mr. Big fan. And we're going to start it right from when he says, I don't know, it might have even started before now, mm-hmm. but when he says, like, oh, I get it. You've never been in love.
I get it. You've never been in love.
I'm like, calm yourself down. Like, for that's so condescending.
Well, also, here's my confession. I think I probably will be a Mr. Big fan, only because, like, if you're nice, I don't like it, right? So, right. like, the Queer as Folk days, I was, like, Brian Kinney's number one fan.
I don't know what that means.
He doesn't know what that means.
Maybe that'll be our next podcast.
Right, we should really reverse these roles right now. I love that you're, like, in charge of the Sex and the City, yeah. and I'm, like, in Queer as Folk.
Next up, Queer as Folk, where I will watch it for the first time.
Just, like... Yeah, don't be nice to me. This is a really great, like, I'm selling myself really well. Next episode of Daddy Issues.
No. Prospective beaus.
Yeah.
Please take notes.
Take note
don't
of this.
Don't be nice to me.
Don't be nice to me. But no, I was sitting there and I was like, okay, I could go for Mr. Big, but that doesn't, point being, that doesn't mean he's a good person.
Right. There's not, you're not necessarily vouching for him with that.
But then she says to him, and I, like, this moment, I was just picturing, like, the director of this episode in the corner when she says, have you ever been in love before? And he's like, abso-fucking-lutely. Go!
Have you ever been in love?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
No, I totally have. My last note is that driver has a good sense of timing.
Yeah.
Like, the perfect timing of, like, abso-fucking-lutely. Like, that driver knew exactly when to take off to, like, put a cap on that line.
Yeah.
The button. Yeah, yes. Very, very well done. The only other note that I have, and it's just, I just have to bring it up, is that coffee shop sign.
Oh, yeah. Coffee.
Yeah. And I only bring it up because... For one thing, that sign's going to go away.
Okay.
Not to skip forward, but her apartment is going to be a very different apartment next time we see it.
Okay.
They're going to try to pretend like it's the same location. But that coffee shop sign, does that look like Upper East Side to you? Maybe I'm like...
Well, I mean, there are places like on the Upper East Side that are pretty old school. There's like Luncheonette.
Yeah, that's true.
Is
I
that
guess
the
there
right
are places.
Name?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, there's that place right by like the museum. It's like an avenue over... That's like an old, there are like old school diners and stuff, but isn't that where she was? I just feel like it was, that's her apartment, but that's where she was with having coffee with Stanford or Skipper or Skippy or.
Maybe with Skippy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Skipper. Don't call him Skippy. He doesn't like that.
Sorry. He doesn't like that. My apologies. So I'm wondering, I feel like maybe they just ran out of like location money. Because they were like, oh. Shit. Well, I guess we'll just film it here again because I feel like she was out for the day meeting him there. But yeah, I don't know, but that will change.
That will change. We'll talk about the changes. I also just want to bring it up and I won't go into it, but there are two very, very important names in this TV series who have nothing to do with the pilot.
Okay.
And I know one of them, I'm almost certain one of them appears in the next episode. I'm not sure when the other one does. It's a cliffhanger here.
Uh-oh.
If you have any guesses as to who these two very important names are.
Rosie
O'Donnell and...
Meg Ryan.
There you go. You know. You didn't even watch the show and you know that it's Rosie O'Donnell and Meg Ryan. Rosie does get a shout out. That's at some point, I will say. And that was as a Rosie O'Donnell fan, that was also fun
as
for
a
me.
Rosie O'Donnell fan.
That's all that I have. Those are my notes. Did we skip anything important?
No, I mean, I'm trying to think if I was like laughing. The first thing I wrote down was that moment in the beginning where the water splashes on her because the bus drives by.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the opening credits, which are kind of iconic opening credits. Yeah, we'll get sued if we use too much of the song.
Doom.
Just changed it there.
Yeah, they're sort of iconic. You know, we see like flashes of the New York skyline. We, of course, have the World Trade Center.
She gets splashed by a bus with her face on it.
She does.
I hate when that happens.
Happens to me almost daily.
I'm like, oh, that bus just, oh, well, my headshot's on the side of it. It's fine.
I do always randomly notice, it's not random, I always notice the guy, he's wearing like a black tank top with like a black mesh shirt or something over it. And he like perfectly poses when the freeze happens. I just always wonder what happened to that guy. Like, he must be
if you're out
somewhere.
There.
If you're out there, get in touch with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, contact Mike. He loves you. There's one moment where this is great because I'm in my mind like going through their names. I'll get it eventually. Yes, Miranda's the one with Skipper.
I love that you, I mean, like,
that it's so, I have to think
it's
about
so
it.
It's so natural to me. Like, I can just, like, so say their name so easily. I love that, like, you're still in that discovery phase.
Miranda's at one of those Manhattan lunch buffets.
Uh-huh.
And, like, those are still alive and well. And I always wonder, like, are those safe? And I'm sure they are, because, like, my roommate eats from them.
Oh,
he has,
yeah,
like, a 9
yeah,
to 5
yeah.
job.
She's, like, getting, like, chicken wings.
Yeah, like,
and
chicken
salad.
Wings.
I love
like
her.
A
I love
salad.
Her meal is, like, green salad with chicken wings on
yeah.
top.
Which is, like, family meal in the restaurant industry.
Exactly.
So I like that. Oh, another thing that I wrote down was when they were interviewing those guys, and one of the men said, what women really want is Alec Baldwin. Sure. That's what I wrote.
Okay.
I don't know. I just like that.
Well, it's funny. I mean, just in general, like when they use a celebrity name, it's always like, and then hearing it, you know, 19 years later.
Yeah.
Do women still just want Alec Baldwin?
I don't know. Mike? What are you
I'll ask around and find out.
Yeah. And I think out of this episode, honestly, you know, I sat there being like, am I a Carrie? Am I a Samantha? Am I a Miranda? Am I a Charlotte? And I think, like, after the first episode, I think I am a Carrie solely because she eats Ben and Jerry's in her bed.
That's a good indication.
You know, so I
will confess that I always thought of myself as a Carrie. And then I remember at some point, because, of course, when I first watched it, I was younger than than the characters are. And I am now older than the characters are. You're probably about the age that most of the characters. They're like mid-30s, early 30s.
Yeah.
So you're
around there.
Yeah.
A little younger, maybe.
Yeah.
A lady never tells her age.
Watching it later and thinking like, oh, I'm not a Carrie. Carrie's kind of annoying. And then watching it again and thinking, oh, God, I think that I probably still am a Carrie.
Yeah, I was just, maybe that'll be like my journey throughout this podcast, discovering one I am.
That was everyone's journey.
And then I'll
show.
Get a nameplate necklace. I don't
Perfect.
Know, maybe, I mean, actually, no, I'm either a Carrie or Stanford. I'm probably more, like, honestly, I'm probably like Stanford. Or maybe you're the guy in the mesh blouse.
Maybe I'm the guy in the mesh blouse. I'll take it. He had great arms. How did you feel about the pilot? Like, did it make you want to watch the next episode?
Yeah, it was. I liked that it was short.
Yeah,
like 26 minutes long, which was perfect. And I think at that time, I think if I would have watched it when it came out, like in 1998, when I was like 14, 13, I probably would have been like, I don't get this,
right?
You know, because I was never one of those people that like I was a nerd. But I think now watching it, I'm kind of like, oh, this is fun. You know, and it's almost now like a time capsule piece, too,
yeah.
Which is cool. It's cool. I think when you live in New York, too, you're fascinated by things that happen in New York. And I have no expectations that, like, this is what my New York life is going to be like, because it's not like Cosmos in the Upper East Side. I know it's going to be, you know, pop-off vodka and Queens for me, but, you know.
That's funny. Well, that's fun. That's been fun exploring this episode with you, and I look forward to doing many, many more.
Many more.
All right. We'll get Sue to stop singing. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
One of my favorite moments in the conversation didn't quite fit into the podcast, so make sure you listen to the end to hear that exchange.
You can subscribe to our new Patreon-only podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, Still Wondering, right now. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, take care of yourself and let's take care of each other. Up next, Models and Mortals.
Are we pulling the curtain back too much if we reveal that you and Cynthia Nixon, who plays Miranda, have something in common? Yes. You're both natural blondes.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
Who wear your red hair beautifully and with pride.
Yes. Cynthia Nixon and I have a lot in common. And
That's just one thing.
And I wasn't sure what we were.
You were like, which of the many things
you should see the look I'm giving him right now. I'm like, where are we going with this? Mom, turn it off.
No, blondes is redheads.
Blondes is redheads, yes.